And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
What's up, everyone? Hope you're all having a great night. Whenever you're listening to us, you know I'm the man, you know, live or otherwise. We're coming at you with some great content, great Bucks football talk. It was not a super eventful week in terms of, the actual Bucks. Not a whole lot of news, but a little crumb. And we'll get into all that. And we'll also talk some big picture offseason stuff because, you know, what else are you going to do when you're sitting around talking about the offseason? So we'll get into all that. But first, I want to introduce my co-hosts, Mr. Zach Blaine. How are you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. I can't complain too much. We just going through everyday life, brother. How are you?
Yeah, man. Yeah, same here. Just got back from Austin, Texas. I had a big work meeting in Austin, some preliminary training for a new job. So that's kind of exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. But traveling is, I got home last night and I knocked out. I was like, wow, that's, even just a 3-hour flight, like it takes it out of you sitting around in the airport. But anyways, they're not here for my travel stories. They're here for Bucks football. And we got Mr. Tyler, the new guy he's not really new anymore. This is your second show?
Third or fourth, I think.
Third or fourth. Okay, fair enough. How you doing tonight, man? I see you got the Baker Browns jersey. That's nice.
I do have the Baker Browns jersey. I got it on sale.
That's what's up.
It's turned into my new thing. I buy jerseys of guys that have left the team. So I've got Titans Julio Jones.
Ooh,
I've got Khalil Mack Raiders. Yeah, got some nice ones. Cool.
Hey, I like it. I like it. Anything for a bargain, honestly.
Exactly.
As much power as you can have to give as little money to fanatics as possible.
I'm with you. Make better jerseys. Maybe I'll spend the full price.
Yeah, facts. Or just don't charge an exuberant amount of money. That would
exactly
be
nice. $150. No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. We could have a whole show based on the outrage of fanatics jerseys, their prices, and all that. But this is a Bucks show, so we're going to talk some Bucks football, and we'll start with some potential cuts. I know that's not the most fun topic in the world to start with, starting off on kind of a downer, because you're essentially talking about who the Bucks should fire, who they should stop paying money to play football to. But it's the reality. It's a business. It's what they got to do because their salary cap is hopefully going to be a little bit better than I think what it is right now. I think there's a lot of reworkings that they can do, but there are some potential cap casualties nonetheless, as there are every season. So, Zach, I'll start with you, man. Who are some guys that come to your mind when you're thinking about guys that are maybe on the chopping block for the Bucks this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd be crazy to not think that Jamel Dean is going to get cut, because I think he's what, 8 million or something along those lines of
8 million in savings. I think he gets paid more though.
He's upwards of 15, I think, total.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he could go. And then a surprising one, I actually just saw it on ESPN today and it makes sense, is Rashad White. I know.
Wow.
I know everyone likes him. I don't.
Everyone. You mean me.
I know Carter really likes him. But Rashad White, as good of a receiving back as he is, he's significantly worse than Bucky at running the ball.
For sure.
But the gap between, I believe Rashad White was like fifth in passing, like as a passing back, he was a fifth ranked passing back, and Bucky was like eighth. So I'm like, the difference between Bucky as a runner and as a pass catcher, like I think he's kind of taken Rashad White's role completely, and Rashad White would save us like 3 million or $3.3 million in cap savings and only less than $250,000 in dead money. So as much as I don't really want to see him go, I know that's crazy to hear coming. Speaking to Carter about it, but I think that he's a logical when we could get a cheaper replacement in the draft.
No, absolutely. I mean, Tyler, I'm sure you'll talk about it too, but the depth of the running back class this season is really impressive. So you can pick up, Donovan Edwards or someone who's like theoretically kind of good in the sixth or seventh round, just because there's a bunch of other really talented backs. And like you said, $3.5 million is not nothing. If it was, if it was like a $1 million in cap savings, then just keep them. But that's not a nothing number. Like that's something that certainly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant amount of money. That's a backup at another position.
For sure. No, absolutely. And if they do, you know, it happens. I wouldn't be totally surprised by it. It wouldn't be totally out of left field. Obviously, you know, it's kind of a bummer because he is an established receiving back. But like you said, Bucky Irving's there. It'd just be interesting because I think that, you know, with Bucky's stature and his frame, he does need to have a little bit more of a limited role just so that you're not, you know, you're keeping up his effectiveness. You know, you're not running him into the ground because he's not Derrick Henry out there. So
yeah, you definitely have to have a decent backup still.
Absolutely.
You can't just go, well, Rashad's gone. We'll take.
Latavius Murray. No, I get you. Yeah,
like, but, we're not going to take Latavius Murray to back up Rashad or Bucky Irving. So, like, you still need a serviceable backup, but, like, Rashad White is almost too good to
– he's not
good to be a backup, but, like, he's too expensive to be just a situational running back, in my opinion.
I get you. Yeah. And the good news is Sean Tucker is also there. And I'd imagine he's a good bit cheaper as well. And he's also pretty darn good too. So I think that having Tucker, and they could maybe even get away with going with an undrafted free agent again with a running back because Sean Tucker's pretty darn good too. So that'd just be able to, it'd give the Bucks, like you said, a lot of roster flexibility. So I actually kind of like the idea as much as I wouldn't be upset to see him stick around. I also would totally understand it. It would not be an illogical move. I'm not banging the table. I'm a big fan of his, but I'm also a fan of, you know, good roster construction. So yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, that would not surprise me at all. But Tyler, is there anyone we haven't mentioned for smart cut moves that you're thinking of?
The only other one I would name is Jordan Whitehead.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I actually think he's the most likely of the three we've named.
Yeah, I agree.
With Dean, he's for better or for worse, he's the best corner on the roster right now. So unless you're going to be able to replace him, that's kind of a risky move. Rashad White, like, that's a pricey backup running back. It's pricey for a guy you're only going to use as a pass blocker and as a receiver, essentially. And, you know, I think it would be a disservice to him to have him be a backup at this age, at this point in his career. I'd rather see him play somewhere else than have to sit the bench for the whole season.
Yeah, at least give him a shot to be a starter somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's a good guy. He does a lot of work in the community. It would be a shame to see him go. But, you know, unfortunately, I think he's going to be a cap casualty. But, yeah, Jordan Whitehead, like, they lose no cap space. There's nothing added to the cap. None of his contract is guaranteed. And, you know, the off-the-field behavior with the car accident, he was charged with reckless driving after that. So,
yeah,
I'm sure the front office isn't really feeling that one.
Yeah. I remember when it happened, like Todd Bowles was just kind of like, yeah, it's not really behavior we expected from him, but it is what it is. And like you said, that's a great point. And, you know, like you said, there's no downside to it from a cap standpoint. It's just, do you want to pay him $4.5 million to play for you or do you not? And I think the Bucks are probably going to lean towards not.
And I don't even think he was that impactful on the field when he did play last season. So.
Yeah, him and Winfield Jr. both were kind of bad.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Whitehead was really bad for us.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so it's even without the off the field stuff, even without the car accident, he's probably getting cut anyways. But you add in that little weird stuff, then it's like, okay, yeah, it makes total sense. So yeah, I'm with you. I think he's by far the most likely. But all three of them could very easily be let go at any point. Those are probably the first three names that the Bucks are going to think about when it comes to, you know, shuffling the roster around. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, more, you know, a little bit happier news, depending on your opinion on this guy, which, you know, maybe it's a little bit varied depending on the listener. But Chris Godwin, they extended some sort of deadline. I don't know the exact specifics, but they extended some sort of deadline where his voidable number comes into play or something. It's, you know, more salary cap wizardry that I just, you know, can't even begin to understand. But basically, they moved the deadline to when they have to extend him in order to reduce his cap hit, which doesn't really make sense to me, but makes sense to other people, and it clearly makes sense to the Bucks. So what do y'all think they should do about Chris Godwin? I mean, bringing him back, you still have to pay him, but you're also getting a really good wide receiver back, and you're not just having to pay $18 million for a guy not to play for you. You know what I mean? So Tyler, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on the Chris Godwin situation? It seems more than likely that he's coming back. They wouldn't do that just to do it, but what are your thoughts?
bringing back a receiver of that caliber is always going to be a plus, especially when he's been here for that long. He's worked with a quarterback. He's worked with other wide receivers in that room. So obviously that's great. But the other piece of this is that he has had several opportunities now to leave in free agency. Like, I think 3 years in a row, basically. They managed to franchise tag him twice, so they can't do it again this year.
Right.
But otherwise, he gets paid like the quarterback amount for a for that tag. So that's not going to work. But yeah, I think that, you know, he was on pace for a career year last year. He was literally like third in receiving yards before he got hurt.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
He became an every down guy, which we didn't really see when, you know, Dave Canales was in town. He hardly saw the field, it kind of seemed like. And so, you know, they bring back what I would call one of the best wide receiver duos in football next year, potentially. Pending, you know, a final number on the contract. But, you know, I think if they can manage to sign him for less than $25 million a year, I think I'll be happy about that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Is that sort of the number you're thinking that he'll get, maybe like 20 to 25 around?
According to Spotrack, it's going to be Spotrack, however you want to say it. It's going to be in the range of like 20 to $23 million a year. So, gotcha. You know, but
that is a lot.
It's going to be a expensive wide receiver year this year. Stephon Diggs, a couple of those guys are up for
it. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you look at the wide receiver draft class and there are some pretty talented guys, but it's going to be expensive to keep him, but at the same time, it's going to be expensive to let him go too.
Yeah. And you think about how good the offense was after he got hurt.
Yeah. So imagine how good it would be if he was still there.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's just more weapons for Baker. You know, Baker was so successful last year with him in the lineup. So why change it? Right. But Zach, I know you've been a bit critical of Chris Godwin, although he had a great year last year and he did.
And I have openly admitted that last year was very solid. I'm not mad at last year. Mm-hmm. I'm still not comfortable spending $20 million on a second string wide receiver.
It is a lot.
That's not a hit on Godwin. I think Godwin is the number one receiver on other teams. I don't think he's number one receiver here. And I think that having him, well, as much as he's a great guy, like he's an awesome teammate, he has done everything that Tampa has needed him to do. I think you're taking snaps away from McMillan, who is kind of up and coming. And our offense ran so good without him last year that it almost makes it seem like it's not going to be much better with him in it, as opposed to less, or because if with him in it, you're getting less snaps for McMillan.
Yeah. So, I mean, less targets for McMillan, especially. Well,
not snaps, but less targets, because
I get what you're saying though. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Evans, Godwin, probably Otten, and then McMillan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so McMillan and Otten.
Like you're ruining that development, which maybe not, maybe that it works out great. I could be wrong. I still feel like $20 million is a lot to pay a second string receiver, though.
It is. No, absolutely. And I wouldn't blame them for balking at the price, but I also, I know I'm sitting on a fence. So that's in a very unenjoyable.
Well, it's hard because as a fan, I want to go bring him back.
Right. Of course.
As a Bucks fan, he's been here his career. It seems like he should be a Mike Evans-esque kind of player where he doesn't play for another team at any point. Like, he's here forever.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Look at the needs that Tampa has. And as much as I love Godwin, I think a better defensive backfield helps us more than having Godwin back.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. If it came between having to decide between Chris Godwin and, like, say – you know, a really good cornerback. Yeah, you pick the good cornerback. But I will say a different perspective to take would be if you keep Chris Godwin, and I think how you might feel about it is even if you don't keep Chris Godwin, you still don't really need to invest in a wide receiver. But if you keep Chris Godwin, there's no chance that they invest in the wide receiver position in the draft.
Yeah, that's fair. But I guess the downfall of my opinion – or the downfall of my idea is like letting him walk, then you do have to invest in a wide receiver.
Right. Because then it's
not sold on Palmer being wide receiver three.
Right.
Definitely not bringing back Sterling Shepard either.
Yeah. Right. Sterling Shepard's gone. So
yeah.
It's like a catch 22. Either way, we're kind of, well, we could get a lesser receiver either in the draft or a free agent that doesn't find a home somewhere else, odds are we're going to have a struggle at wide receiver three. So with injuries at wide receiver every year, someone's going to get hurt.
For sure. And that's the great, that's probably the biggest counterpoint to that is just like you said, Kate Otten or Jalen McMillan or both go down, then
And we're running with guys like New England had.
Right. So, Jarrett. Cameron Johnson. Yeah.
It's a catch 22. I would love to have him back, but also if he doesn't come back, I think that's where I'm leaning, but not in any kind of hate towards Chris Godwin, just in terms of McMillan is a very good wide receiver too, who I think has the ability to be wide receiver one day. And he's a lot cheaper.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's kind of a danged if you do, danged if you don't kind of thing. It's the NFL. It's a salary cap league. You're unfortunately you're not going to be able to fill every hole. You're going to have some weaker spots, and it's just, you know, Bucks are going to have to prioritize. I don't know. I think Baker's relationship with Godwin really took a step forward last year. So I'd be really excited to see if them continue to grow. And hopefully, you know, fingers crossed he stays healthy, of course. That would be a bummer to see him walk. But at the same time, you know, they can invest in other positions. But if you're looking for the Chris Godwin type of upgrade for your wardrobe, if you're looking to bring back style into your life, not that style ever left, but bring some more style, definitely shout head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code because it's the drolls of the off season. We'll give you Cannons, that's CANNONS. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. We've got you covered for Tampa Bay sports gear because the Rays season, they played their first spring training game today. So they're coming back. The Rowdies are always happening. The Lightning are happening. The Sun, you know, we've just got so much stuff going on in Tampa sports-wise. So a lot of stuff to, you know, to support and to rock. You know, USF, go Bulls. Anyways, definitely head there. Check it out. We'd really appreciate it. But the second half of the episode, we're going to start talking about maybe some outside targets, in free agency or free trade. Also, what positions maybe they'd like to target in free agency. And that's, I think, where we'll start. Let's say that they bring back Chris Godwin. Like, let's just kind of set that aside for a second. And I think we're all assuming that they cut Jamelle Dean and Jordan Whitehead. So maybe let's just assume that all of that happens. I know that's kind of making some leaps, but what are some positions that you'd think that the Bucks would really need to address in free agency? Zach, I'll pass the mic to you first. What are some positions that you'd like the Bucks to address in free agency?
I mean, I've been harping on it for two seasons now. We need defensive backs. We need corners specifically. I am pleasantly pleased with the development of Tyke Smith over the season and how well he played. I do think that he could replace Jordan Whitehead and be much better. Christian Isian can fill in as nickelback. I'm happy with that. We need outside corners. We need outside corners bad. I'm not sold on Zion. I haven't been sold on Zion. I know the numbers on PFF look really good. I saw him get beat deep a lot, whether it was a completed pass or not. He got beat deep a lot last year. But that's just me. So I think we need outside corners. That's my number one priority in free agency. Granted, that's because I don't think there's a very deep class of corners in the draft. Outside of like the top two or three, I think you could pick up a third, fourth, fifth rounder, and they're going to be just as good as a second rounder. So I think if we're going just free agency right now, I would say corner's my number one need.
Yeah. And, you know, I know it's tough because they only invested in like one outside corner free agent, but they did try a little bit with Breece Hall. Unfortunately, he got hurt. I feel you. It's not enough, but
even Breece Hall was a slot corner in Dallas. What, like, if I'm not mistaken,
he was an outside guy for the Jets.
Yeah. New York.
Yeah. He was with the Jets.
I thought that's Breece Hall, the running back.
Bryce Hall.
Shoot. I'm sorry.
Like the YouTuber.
But they did try to address the outside cornerback position with him, and he just tore his Achilles and like, well, darn.
Yeah. I mean, that sucked. But like I said, I thought he was going to be the inside guy, if I'm being honest. I was completely under the impression that he was a slot guy. I could be completely wrong, and I would not be surprised.
Who knows? No, but I am with you. I think that's probably, if not number one, number two, because edge rush is also going to be a big need. I don't know that they go the free agency route for that necessarily, but they need some depth. I think it's Yaya and Chris Braswell, and then I don't know. So I think corner and edge definitely going to be some positions to watch in pretty much every route of acquiring players. They will be interested.
Yeah, exactly.
Draft, free agency, et cetera. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that both of those, I think corners especially is going to be a big spot to watch moving forward. But Tyler, any positions we haven't mentioned yet that you're maybe looking at for free agency?
Yeah, I think, I'm not thrilled with the corner situation either. I'm not thrilled with the defensive backs in general. But I think the biggest problem for the defense is still going to be that pass rush. If you're not putting any pressure on the quarterback, it makes it a lot harder for corners, especially in the zone coverage. It gives the quarterback too much time to just look at the field. And so I think if you manage to improve the pass rush at least a little bit, it takes some of that pressure off the corners, and maybe you don't have to spend as much money over there. I'm thinking, they're already kind of pressed for cap space. I think in an ideal world, I think that the best options are going to be, like, even if you can just bring in like Chase Young from New Orleans, if you're willing to spend that money. He's been injury prone, but I still think he's got it somewhere, right? He's got that potential somewhere. And I think anytime you can steal a star like that away from your division rivals, it's going to feel good. Sure. And so I think he's probably one of my favorite free agents right now, just looking at who's available at edge rusher or even interior defensive line if he wants to shift over there. The other thing I'm really concerned about is linebacker. Even if we bring back Lavonte David, who's going to play next to him? It's not KJ Britt.
Right. Yeah.
JJ Russell's not there yet either. No. He looked all right. He looked better than KJ Britt sometimes, but that's a real low bar.
I would say I look better than KJ Britt when I play linebacker.
You could put a traffic cone out there.
Exactly. I think my only argument to that is that, and not linebacker, I agree we need linebacker very bad. I agree with you 100%. I think the draft is a good place for linebackers this year.
Yeah, I love the linebackers.
I agree.
But with our edge rushers, I feel like there's a better chance that guys like Yaya and Braswell, who, again, he was an early round pick.
Yeah,
it's true. We get more time with him and Yaya. Take JTS out, take Logan Hall out. I don't care about either one of them. But guys with that potential, I think we have a better chance for our edge rushers to develop and have better seasons next year than our corners.
Yeah.
That's my main reason behind saying corner over edge. You're spot on. We need edge, and I do think that having a better edge will help the corners. But to what extent, I guess, is my biggest issue.
Yeah. As long as I can bring in a serviceable veteran to rotate in with those two. I think they'll probably be all right. I
love the Chase Young shout. He's my favorite in free agency as well.
And he's not going to be nearly as pricey as like a Khalil Mack or something like that. So I think that's a pretty good place to start your look. And I'm tired of them slamming their head against the wall every draft, drafting an edge rusher in the first and second round.
Thank you. I've been saying that forever.
Not working. And Jason Light, he's made his money drafting defensive backs late in the draft. So you think about MJ Stewart, he's still a serviceable starter at safety. Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, even Vernon Hargraves looked okay for the first couple of years here in Tampa. And
a little stretch there.
A little bit of a stretch. But, those are all guys like Light managed to get in the third and fourth round. So,
yeah, I think Vernon was a first round pick. But
was he?
Yeah,
I think Vernon was first or second for sure.
He was first because it was him and Eli Apple were back to back.
Wow, crazy misses both times. That's wild.
But that's what scares me is I feel like we've missed more on edge rushers in the first round than we have with corners. The first two rounds. I don't know. I would love for them. I wish Revel wouldn't have gotten hurt this season in college. He is my dream corner for Tampa. But the fact that he got hurt means we might get him in the second round.
Yeah. There were a couple guys in the draft I really did like, just looking at mock drafts and boards. One of them was Darian Porter from Iowa State. I'm a big fan just looking at the tape. He's got all those intangibles that Bowles likes. He's tall and he's got long arms, just like every corner Jason Light's ever drafted. So
yeah, that's
true. And you know, he's projected to fall in the second round. So, you know, I'm okay with that. Okay with that kind of pick.
Yeah,
we're definitely gonna have to have you on when we go over our draft. Indeed. For sure.
Oh, and we're gonna have him because it's coming.
It's coming.
I'm planning
on a couple months.
Positions of need. Just previews for the next episodes for our audience. 7 positions in need, and then we're gonna do a mock draft right before the draft, like kind of as a group. Nice. So yeah, Tyler, I know you'll be on for those. That'll be really exciting. I'm gearing up for that too. I'm really excited because it's the draft. It's everyone's favorite time of year. But shifting our focus more to internal options, because you know there are some pretty darn talented guys that the Bucks already have that are under contract right now, but you know they're set to expire soon. So who are some guys that might be extension candidates, like maybe some guys that the Bucks have on their roster that could be due for, you know, an extension and a payday? Tyler, I'll start with you, man. Are there any guys that come to mind that fit in that category?
I think Mike Evans is probably going to get an extension this offseason. He's only got a year left. This upcoming season is his last year on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's probably candidate number. Well, he's probably up there for me at least, even if it's just tacking on a year or two.
Sure.
Because that'll give them more space to restructure his contract, potentially, you know, freeing up some more money for this year.
For sure.
And I think off the top of my head, Baker Mayfield, he's only got 2 years left, I think. And after this season, where, you know, career bests in just about every category,
right,
almost hitting Bucks records. He set the Bucks quarterback rushing record this season, which was crazy to think about. So I think he's due for a little bit of a raise potentially. So I could see him getting extended as well. And then I'll give you one more. Let's take a look. I think Justin School, I think his contract is coming up soon. Or not Justin School. What's the other right tackle? Gedecky.
No, not School. He was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he's a backup. You know, he's
a backup, but he gave up 5 sacks.
It's tough. And almost all of them were like to Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson, man.
It was that one game.
literally the one game.
One game. But I'm with you on Gedecky for sure. And Baker and Evans, they're really interesting mentions because I don't think that that's maybe necessary because they just got contracts last year. You know, so people are like, oh, well, didn't they just get re-signed? But, you know, like you said, the Bucks work that cap in magical ways. So that's constantly coming with extensions and everything.
Yeah, and the Bucks have been doing the one-year deal with Mike Evans every couple of years now.
For sure. Yeah.
Because I think the front office is kind of waiting on him to retire a little bit, unfortunately. He's 31 starting next year. So, you know,
we'll see.
It's coming at some point.
Yeah, no, unfortunately it is. Father time comes for us all, but yeah, I mean, I think that he was, you know, he hit that 1,000-yard mark again last year. I feel you.
Not the first time it's been barely either.
Yeah. He also missed like 3 or 4 games last year.
Well, and that's the biggest takeaway is that with that time missed, without that time missed, he would have cleared it.
Yeah, comfortably.
Very comfortably. He may have been pushing 1,500 yards if he didn't miss those games.
Dude, if he didn't miss those games, I think he probably would have come close to leading the league in receiving touchdowns.
Agreed.
He did last year.
Yeah.
The year before last year. Yep. And so, you know, he misses 3 games and he only gets a touchdown less.
But I also think that Godwin going down helped his numbers go up. So
we can play the hypothetical game.
We look at it that way, and it's like, well, maybe he wouldn't have gotten to 1,000 yards even if he was healthy, if Godwin stayed healthy.
Right.
So that's a good point. But getting back to the extension candidates, I think another one that comes to my mind is Cade Otton, low-key. Like, I think he's kind of an under-the-radar guy, just because I think at this point he might be like a relatively less expensive extension candidate than some of these other guys. And, you know, who knows what the new offense is going to look like, but tight end hasn't necessarily been a huge position of emphasis for the Bucs since Gronk left, really. So, you know, Otton can just be a starter. And, you know, maybe they decide to just let him walk and then spend another late-round draft pick on the position, which would also be fine. But I think Cade Otton's kind of a name to monitor as well. But, Zach, is there anyone else we didn't mention?
Honestly, you guys have kind of named them all. I like the Otten inclusion because if he has another year like he had this year, he's going to be significantly more expensive next year.
Right.
And I don't want to – like, he's good, but he's not, in my opinion, a game changer.
Sure. Yeah.
He's – like, when people talk about quarterbacks, they call them game managers. Like, I think Cade Otten is the
–
A game manager at tight end.
Wow. Okay, I like it.
In the world, but that's just the best I could describe it.
No, I feel you, though.
I think that the Baker Mayfield one is – as much as y'all know, I love me some Baker. I think that that's the best one we could do right now because we got to remember we kind of signed him to a prove it deal again. Like it was 3 years, but really only 2 years. Like we could cut him after next year for essentially nothing. So give him that big quarterback contract. I think that he's proved it. And when I say big, I don't want to pay him $40 million a year, but I think that if you extend him 5 or 6 years, not 2, then you're going to save more money now as opposed to later on. And I think that he's young enough. He'll be serviceable and a good starter. I mean, I think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. So
I agree.
Fair enough.
Put him as our franchise quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something I'm sure they're already considering and talking about internally. Maybe they see it, but you know, they always, it's the risk reward factor, right? Like maybe they want to wait another year and just to make sure. But at the same time, like if you wait another year, he has another year similar to this last one, then the price
maybe goes up to one of the most expensive paid quarterbacks in the league. And it's sure. Like,
and then that's not tenable.
And if he has a bad year next year, it's like, okay, so now we're just on a quarterback hunt. Like,
right. Exactly. So it's,
it's kind of one of those, another, we've said it a lot this episode, but a catch 22.
Yeah,
like absolutely. If we, I would rather extend him. I don't think he's going to fall off a cliff. He's, in my opinion, too young to fall off a cliff and be a bad quarterback. If he had a mediocre year this year after last year, I'd be like, okay, maybe he's not the guy. But for him to have a better year this year than he did last year, I'm like, all right, he's proven that it was just a system. Like he's in a good system now. I think that we can count on him to be our guy.
Yeah. And the other thing about quarterbacks is they're just going to get more expensive every single year.
Right. Yeah.
100%.
And
the,
I mean,
the highest paid quarterback is the next one. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way it is with, you could say that for every position, right? I mean, like Jamar Chase is like, they waited for some ungodly reason and then he had another just insane year. And so now they're going to have to like pay him, you know, more than Justin Jefferson, which, you know, if he's better than Justin Jefferson, who knows? But, if they just paid him last year when they should have, then, you know, he probably gets a little less. But regardless, we're coming towards the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you like what you heard, give us a like or subscribe on YouTube or wherever you're coming in from. And you can give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. I want to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Blaine and Tyler, for doing a great job and making my job very easy. Tune in next week. We'll have some more Bucks content coming at you. And eventually we're going to get into the specifics of the draft, which I know everyone's looking forward to. We'll be talking about our guys for each round at each position of need. So stay tuned for that. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in though. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.